The owner of those fingers had exhausted himself pulling his own corpse from a grave. "You see something?" Bruno asked, and Gus knew that Collie's eyes were on him, wondering just what he was up to. He wasn't sure himself, but he crossed the pavement anyway. A hand connected to a skeletal forearm, not quite picked clean. Then, a torso. Gus stopped at the pavement's end, bent over, and parted the grass, uncovering the ravaged and weather-stripped remains of a person. A skull, locked in a scream, stared in the direction of the hotel. Its left arm was missing. Then Gus saw the rest of the corpse hidden within the thick vegetation. Dread clutched at his innards and caressed the back of his neck. Behind him, a boot heel clicked on pavement. Someone muttered something about gas. Fluid sloshed heavily in a container, but he didn't pay attention to any of that. The other skeletons had his complete attention. Dismembered and strewn along in clumps, the bones were every bit as dusted and discolored as the hotel behind him. There was no pattern to where they fell, as if Death himself were polishing off a bucket of fried chicken and chucking the bones out the window, letting them fall where they may. Some of the skulls were screaming, some were grinning, but all of them faced him. None of the heads, as far as he could tell, had any bullet holes or any other sort of head trauma. The dog had not moved. Instead, it watched Gus with its ears perked. It dared him to come closer. "No thanks," Gus whispered, and backed away. The feeling was evidently mutual as the dog turned and trotted off into the forest. The animal quickly faded into the foliage. Bruno was beside him then, studying the bone collection. "Zombies?" he asked. Gus shook his head.
Maybe just people. I don't know.
He walked back to the truck, thinking about graves. Open graves. And the things crawling free of them. 7. After refueling their trucks, Collie gathered the men into a circle. "All right, boys," she said, glancing at Bruno and Corey. "Next is Amherst. We'll have to slow things down, though. The highway will be thick with dead material."
"Dead material?" a puzzled Bruno asked.
"Cars," Collie provided. "Trucks, motorcycles, delivery vans, transports. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised to see a goddamn baby buggy somewhere out there. An honest-to-Christ jug fuck of rubber tires, loose springs, and airbags. Might be impassable in places. I'll worry about that. Just stay 3 cars back off my bumper, okay? And I say 3 in case I have to stomp on the brakes and reverse my tin ass lickety-fucking-fast. And keep your weapons ready just in case. We good?"
Bruno lifted a hand.
"Melinda?"
Collie asked.
Bruno made a face at that. He glanced at Gus for backup. Gus refused to make eye contact.
"Jugfuck?" Bruno finally asked.
"What's that now?"
Collie asked back.
"What's a jugfuck? You can't guess at the meaning?"
Bruno blinked and didn't say a word.
"I think it means a shitstorm," Gus put in quietly.
Collie approved with a nod before turning on Bruno. "Any more army piddly shit lingo you need definitions for?"
Bruno shook his head.
"So we're good?" she asked.
The men nodded.
"Outstanding," Collie said softly. "Roger, Dildo. See you on the other side."
As they climbed aboard their trucks, Gus glanced over at the operator and asked,
"You expecting anything?"
"Prepare for the worst and all that shit," she replied, and started up the engine.
The two trucks cruised through the Amherst city limits. Large buildings rose in the distance, stamping shadows across wide plots of unused farmland. As expected, there were plenty of vehicles on the highway, some dented or scuffed, others wrecked completely. Gruesome knots of glass and metal where vehicles had smashed heads, metal clipped metal underneath the two trucks, and one frightening clatter made Gus brace for impact before an exhaust pipe rattled out from underneath.
"Relax," Collie told him. "It's not ours."
A crunch of demolished cars blocked the highway, forcing Collie to slow down and find a route off-road. Gus held on as the truck listed to his side. He saw skeletons. Complete sets littered the shoulders of the road, stretched out or simply flattened, some intact, some not. Collie ignored them as she maneuvered through and banked hard onto a less cluttered road. Nothing stopped them this time. Stores with bright, tattered signs lined the streets, the windows smashed, glass spilling onto pavement. Parking lots of shopping meccas resembled aging battlefields. A high school came into view with a huge section of its structure collapsed, as if an explosion might have been responsible. Nothing raised its head to see where the trucks were going. No one charged the vehicles. And most importantly, no one took a shot at them. 30 minutes later, they had rolled through not only Amherst, but neighboring Sackville as well. "Well, all right," Collie announced, hugely satisfied with the lack of resistance. Gus checked his side mirror. Sackville remained a quiet gray place as it shrank in the distance, occasionally blotted out by Corey and Bruno's truck following close behind. "That went pretty good," he said. "It did." "I was clenching the whole time," he remarked. "Just keep watch back there is all." "Why's that?" "Well, you never know," Collie said. "That's how we got into a fight with those Norse fuckheads. Norsemen. The fuck were they snorting when they came up with that name? Anyway, we were driving through the burbs, minding our business, when suddenly a dozen rigs appeared in our rearview mirror. It was like we boot-fucked a beehive and left it in the dirt. They were riled up something fierce." Gus leaned forward, checking his mirrors with great attention. "Looks clear. For now, anyway. Let's hope it stays that way." Around a quarter after one, the group stopped to refuel some 15 clicks away from Moncton. A road sign informed them that the exit was only 7 kilometers away. The wide, grassy median dividing the 6-lane highway had become a collection of cars that had veered off the road. A transport trailer had stopped on the shoulder, leaning dangerously to the right. Gus kept watch as the others poured ethanol into the gas tanks. He stood a few paces at the front of the pickup, gazing at the horizon. "Jesus," Corey hissed. "Ethanol truly sucks ass, don't it?" "Great for the environment," Collie said brightly. "Yeah, but it seems like we're constantly gassing up every other hour." "It does have pretty shitty mileage," Bruno added. "Yeah, well, maybe we'll luck out and find an engineer," Collie said. "One who specializes in improving shitty mileage." Gus quietly chuckled at that. That was his girl. At least he hoped she would be his girl one day. He ignored the thought by examining the tree line. "Gus," Collie said after a few minutes.
"Yeah?
You drive.
You expecting trouble?"
"No more than usual."
That was enough for Gus. He was getting bored riding shotgun. He started up the rig as Collie climbed aboard. She pulled one of her pistols free and inspected the weapon's condition. "You sure you're not expecting trouble?" Gus asked.
Collie smiled. "Moncton's a bigger city, bigger population, bigger chance of us attracting unwanted attention."
Gus heard that.
Collie studied his profile.
"You're taking orders really well, you know."
"Like I'm not going to. Far as I'm concerned, this is a military thing, and you're military. I'm just a civvy. I'm fucking glad you're in charge."
That sentiment amused the operator. A minute later, they crossed an overpass. The adjoining exit ramps and roads reminded Gus of a steel spider that had died on its back with its legs folded in on itself. A dead parade of unmoving vehicles jammed the ramps bumper to bumper, with some of the impatient ones bashed onto shoulders. Moonroofs were opened, windows were lowered, and the wasted occupants barely visible. Grass surrounded it all, creating a tilting floodplain of yellow and green, all under a cloudy sky. "Take your time," Collie said, craning her neck one way and then the other. "You're doing fine. Nice and easy."
"Too much shit on the highway to go any faster," Gus said, thankful that the overpass lanes weren't so clogged.
"Just take your time," the operator said, peering down beneath the overpass. "See those exits?"
"Yeah."
"Notice anything?"
Besides all the cars?
That's right. All those cars. Roads are completely blocked. No one can use those lanes to come up behind us. Not unless they want to bash their way through the guardrails.
Place is up ahead, Gus said, pointing to a collection of buildings on either side of the highway. A minute later, they rolled through Moncton's outer limits, consisting mostly of truck stops, gas stations, drive-thrus, and abandoned chip trucks. Roadside water amusement parks with bone-dry half-pipes. Motels and multi-level hotels. In between these structures were roads snaking down into shallow valleys, offering fleeting glimpses of empty streets and long-dead neighborhoods of the inner city. Massive shopping complexes came into view, their fronts pointed towards an army of unmoving cars. Lawns, like so many others, had grown to jungle heights.
"The world up and died, Gus," Collie remarked, with just the barest note of remorse, surveying that desolate roadside show. "She up and died."
"If we're lucky," Gus said. That turned the operator's head, but only for a few seconds before she zeroed in on a structure on the right. "Something wrong?" he asked.
"Maybe. Just keep on driving, but be ready to stomp on the gas when I say."
Collie held her SIG between her knees. "What is it?" he asked.
"That hotel."
The building resembled a ski chalet from the Swiss Alps, reminding Gus of Mortimer's mansion. Painted white with a striking blue trim, the building had a distinct shape and gentle roof with a number of pointed dormers on all sides. Several cars were parked outside a fire exit, all lined up and facing the road. The lawn was overgrown, but freshly beaten pathways led from the parking lot to the highway. That must have been what perked up Collie's nose. Someone had recently driven off the lot and onto the strip, leaving tiger stripes on the pavement. That worried Gus. The hotel windows were nothing more than black squares, but there were enough of them overlooking the road. The more Gus looked at the place, the more he thought of old forts positioned atop hills overlooking rivers. "See anyone?" he asked, driving along three wide lanes that were surprisingly uncluttered of vehicles.
"No."
"Think someone's in there?"
"We'll know in a few seconds."
The hotel loomed as Gus's heart rate increased with the growing tension. Any moment he expected crazies to burst out of the fire escape and rush for their vehicles. There would be a chase, maybe a firefight. The victor might have to deal with prisoners, and the notion of being captured didn't sit well in Gus's mind. He wasn't going to be anyone's prisoner ever again. The hotel drifted by and disappeared behind them, but Collie kept her attention on the sight in her side mirror. Gus's knuckles tightened on the steering wheel. He squirmed, stopped, and adjusted himself again. Seconds ticked by, and the distance between them and the hotel grew. "We clear?" Gus asked. Collie held up a hand, asking for a few seconds more time. Then,
"I think so. I think we're good. No shots fired. No one going for the cars."
"Thank you, Jesus."
"All jacked up, are you?"
"Yeah, a little."
"Sorry," Collie said. "My fault. Those tire tracks in the grass spooked me."
"Should we be worried about that?"
She shook her head. "I think we're good."
Gus nodded and kept on driving, but he didn't feel any better. He rubbed a hand over his forehead and felt sweat there.
"Don't you worry, babe," Collie told him. "Believe you me, on this road, we're the scary ones."
8. Trans-Canada Highway 101, 23 kilometers west of Matheson, Ontario.
"And hurry the fuck up, or I swear to sunny Christ I'll blast your shit brains across the asphalt."
The threat caused the meat puppet to freeze on the spot, tire jack in hand. The poor bastard raised his other hand slowly as if to ward off the shotgun pointed at his head. O'Leary would do it. He'd blast this fucker's head clean all over the road on impulse alone. The self-professed surgeon had a very low tolerance for dawdling and would enjoy shooting a few meat puppets, just to light a fire under the ball sacks of the rest.
"God damn it, O'Leary," the jipman barked.
"What?"
"You froze him."
"Well, fuck it. I can unfreeze him."
"Yeah, how you gonna do that? By shooting him? Or maybe shooting one of the others?"
"Thinking about it."
How many others do we have?
The Jitman demanded. A pause, during which the meat puppet squeezed his eyes shut and waited for the inevitable blast that would take his life. His breathing had already increased, as did the locomotive thumping of his heart. If O'Leary didn't shoot him, he just might drop dead of a heart attack anyway. He wondered which would hurt more.
How many others do we have? The Jitman repeated.
A deadly silence. Then O'Leary replied,
You trying to be smart?
No, just trying to get a point across.
So how many?
An uncertain pause.
What, with us?
Yeah, with us.
The fuck you care?
O'Leary snapped. Don't be like that, dude, just don't.
Yeah? Or what? You thinking about doing something?
Rocks along the road's shoulders dug into the meat puppet's knees. His arms were starting to tremble, betraying his growing aches. The sun was out and smiling, hard enough to make one sweat in October's late glory, and the meat puppet was already stewing in his own filthy juices. At no time did the puppet think about using the tire jack as a weapon. That thought did not enter the puppet's head. O'Leary's retort noticeably cooled the Jitman's attitude.
Just saying is all, just saying. Don't you get any thoughts in your head?
Like what?
O'Leary spat.
Like maybe shooting you right here? Huh? Like just blasting you off the road and leaving you like a spilled chocolate shake, huh? Like 150 pounds of bad meat? Thoughts like that?
Ease off, you fucking savage, the man called Top Gun warned.
The meat puppet didn't know what Top Gun's real name was. All he knew was O'Leary would shoot Top Gun as quickly as any of them.
He started it,
O'Leary huffed, sounding very close to going full nuclear.
He did not start it, Top Gun said calmly. You started it. You seem to always start it these days. What's going on in that caveman skull of yours, huh? You're getting more and more unpleasant to work with every fucking day.
Don't like stupid questions is all, O'Leary said,
but his tone had dialed back a bit.
It's like this, Top Gun explained. How many meat puppets did we have when we first started out here?
5.
How many we got now?
3.
And why is that?
'Cause I shot the others. But that was...
Top Gun held up a hand.
What did you just say?
O'Leary didn't answer.
You said something just then.
No, I didn't.
Top Gun waited, not impressed.
Repeat it, please.
O'Leary sighed in what sounded like embarrassment.
'Cause I shot the others.
'Cause you shot the others.
But that was because...
Ah!
Top Gun interrupted again as if he were deadlifting a tractor tire.
You shot the others. You. You pulled the trigger. You blew their heads off. All because they didn't do something fast enough or didn't answer fast enough. Now you're about to fucking execute a third meat puppet. I can't let you do that, son. Just because if you do, you severely limit our workforce, and I'm not gonna change a fucking tire because of you. Not me, and not the Jitman.
Fuck no,
the Jitman said, nervous. No one spoke then, and in the tense stillness that followed, the puppet's arms ached even more. He thought about putting them down, but didn't, mostly because O'Leary was standing right behind him. The surgeon was back there, his presence as palpable as a blazing furnace.
Get back to work,
O'Leary commanded the meat puppet. The meat puppet obeyed. The conversation continued behind him, however.
Glad that's over with, Top Gun said.
You did a wise thing, O'Leary, a very wise thing. You gotta have more patience in times like these.
I think you two are ganging up on me, O'Leary rumbled.
We're not,
Top Gun faltered before taking a breath.
God damn it, you fucking moron, think for a second. Stop thinking with that boomstick of yours and use your other brain.
The hell's all that shouting about?
A fourth voice asked from a short distance. Jake. Jolly Jake, as the others called him. The meat puppet remembered the name. Reminded him of Buccaneers.
Fucking O'Leary, Top Gun answered. He's getting a little overeager about shooting people.
What? They're ganging up on me,
O'Leary protested,
the anger returning.
Both of them.
I'm not ganging up on you, the Jitman complained.
Look, Top Gun stressed.
All I'm saying is take it easy with the threats, all right? Just take it easy. We only got 3 meat puppets left. That's 3. We don't want to use the merch in the trailer, right? I mean, that's all fresh. So we got to use what we got, and all we got left because of you are 3 slabs of meat, Top Gun carried on. That's it. That's all. Look, in an effort of preserving the peace, go ahead and shoot the meat. I don't give a shit anymore, but I'm not going to change that goddamn tire. You understand me? I am not. And Jitman ain't going to change that tire either. Old Jolly over there got a fucked up leg, so you know he's not going to do it. So that leaves you. Understand?
Peace, then, of an uncertain kind. The meat puppet remained poised in front of the tire, tensed and waiting.
You know something? O'Leary spat. Fuck it, he fired.
Top Gun jumped at the sound. The blast removed the part of the unfortunate meat puppet's head and slapped a tattered rag of scalp and bone and brain matter against the very truck he was poised to work on. He fell over as if shoved from behind. Top Gun and the Jitman were speechless, partially in shock, and partially wondering if they should just shoot O'Leary right there. Top Gun had said it before, in private. The surgeon was a little past being desensitized to these impulsive acts of violence. Top Gun used to think O'Leary simply didn't care about what he did. Now, however, Top Gun suspected O'Leary was enjoying himself. Very much.
Gotta break a few fucking eggs, right?
O'Leary swore, spittle flying from his bearded chops.
Gotta break a few to make the others work, right? Right?
The Jitman nodded, and that took the attention off him.
Sure, dude, sure.
Top Gun sighed, his shock bleeding away. It was only then when he heard the screams coming from the 6x12 cargo trailer hitched to the rear of his Raptor. O'Leary heard it too, and while the man wasn't big, his unsettling anger and eagerness to kill made him a much bigger problem than Top Gun cared to admit.
See what you did, Top Gun said and turned to the trailer.
He slapped the trailer wall near a series of air holes punched into the side. Fingers poking out retreated when Top Gun hit the wall a second time, and a few wide eyes quickly withdrew into the trailer's dark recess for fear of being poked. Top Gun was beginning to think it was time to lessen the gang by 1, just to be on the safe side. He knew he'd sleep better at night. Hell, if he really wanted to sleep better at night, he'd just leave the whole unsavory business. It wasn't for him anyway. A child moaned from within the trailer, and that annoyed O'Leary. He primed the shotgun and walked up to the air holes.
Shut the fuck up in there! Shut the fuck up or I'll put a round of shot in there right fucking now. Maybe 2 blasts and fuck the mess. Just fuck it. I'll wash out the whole trailer with a garden hose next time we stop. Hear me?
The moaning ceased as if someone had clamped a hand over the kid's mouth. O'Leary jammed his shotgun against one of the holes anyway. The Jitman exchanged glances with Top Gun and both men fluttered with indecision. The meat puppets were one thing. The cargo was another. And just as Top Gun braced for more carnage, laughter erupted from the lead pickup truck. Jolly Jake, apparently, had found humor in the proceedings.
The fuck you laughing at? O'Leary demanded,
eyes wide and backlit by a stick of crazy burning far too bright.
You, dude! You!
Jake laughed. An elbow jutting out of the driver's window was all that could be seen of the man until he stuck half his head outside for a second. Only a second, as if daring O'Leary to take a shot at him.
You're hilarious. You kill him and you'll have to change the tire. I'm not gonna change that tire. I'm just saying, you shoot him and you'll have to change the tire and fuck it, blam! That shit tinkled, it was so fucking cold.
Jolly Jake laughed again. Laughed so hard he even put a hand to the pickup's horn, the sound goosing the air and causing the Jitman to flinch.
Cold, O'Leary, Jake yelled. Drop dead cold. What was your field of specialty again?
O'Leary stopped and stared at the lead truck, the distraction disarming the tension.
Ruh, he said as if trying to remember. Rhinoplasty,
he finally managed, looking a little uncertain, and more than just a touch breathless.
Rhinoplasty!
Another hearty chortle.
Goddamn! You sure as hell took care of that slab's nose!
The surgeon smiled.
Sure did. Damn straight I did!
And he released a soft chuckle.
Well, Jake said, you gonna change that tire now? Yeah, sure.
And to Top Gun's and the Jipman's mutual dismay, O'Leary handed off his shotgun to the Jipman, giving him a look of, you gonna help or what? No sooner did the Jipman take the weapon when O'Leary got to his knees and went to work on the flat. Fuck me gently, Top Gun muttered at the unexpected scene of roadside assistance. He waved off the Jipman, urging him to cool down. The Jipman indicated that he would, but he clearly wasn't happy about it. Shaking his head, Top Gun turned and walked away, believing the dangerous moment had passed for the time being. He kicked up pebbles scattered along the blacktop as he approached the lead truck and their two-truck caravan and faced Jolly Jake. Jake was a long-haired hippie freak with icy eyes and a mouth containing only half a load of teeth. His hair had been tied off in a foot-long tail with an elastic, of which he had about half a dozen spares around his right wrist. Jake was also a merchant of hijacked meat and bones, a pusher of prime, forcefully appropriated ass. And he was the captain of the little miserable band that Top Gun, once a high school gym teacher, found himself an increasingly unwilling part of. How do you do that? Top Gun asked Jake, keeping O'Leary in sight as the brutish man struggled with the tire.
Do what?
Talk him down like that.
It's all in the laugh, Jake said with that spotty smile. Laughter's the best medicine, right? Takes the sting out of everything, don't it?
Guess so, Top Gun said with a relieved shake of his head. Then he leaned in. He's getting worse, Jake. The Jolly One smiled.
Relax, Gun, my son, stay cool. I mean, really, we're all a little too close to the chicken barbecue, right? O'Leary's under some pressure, is all. Let him have his fun. Or in this case, let him blow off some steam. But sweet Christ Almighty, never challenge him. That's the road to some serious tomfuckery. Especially with him. And if all else fails, just remember. Ask what his old job was.
He worked in a used bookshop, Top Gun whispered.
See,
Jake scolded with a frown.
You're fucking up again. In his mind, O'Leary was a cosmetic surgeon, a damned good one. Just don't ask him to do any work on you is all.
Top Gun couldn't help but smile nervously at that.
Seriously,
Jake carried on, lowering his voice and eyeing O'Leary.
What the hell, right? What does it matter what he thinks his old job used to be, or his new one? Let him be Fire Chief Jim if he keeps him under control, a fucking astronaut if he pleases. Just remember to play along with the whole idea, but not like in a condescending way, right? But in a good way. It's an off button, okay? For times like these.
He was about to...
I know what he was about to do, which is why I started laughing here. And look, suddenly everything is rum and roses. You get it now? Off button. Just remember that. You gotta learn how to handle the freaks better. It ain't hard. All they want is attention, really. A little acknowledgement, that's all.
Top Gun supposed that was all, but his balls were still drawn up all tight and tingly.
Look, Jake said, studying his companion's face. He'll ride with me from here on in. That savage is too damn valuable to lose. Oh, make no mistake, one of us will end up shooting the poor bastard in the back of the head one morning, either before or after breakfast beers, but let's hold off on that for as long as we can. Whatever you might think of him, the bottom line is he's valuable. He terrifies the cargo, terrifies them. Terrifies the meat puppets, too. You can't teach that shit, you can't. You either got it or you don't. And he's got it.
Top Gun exhaled a note of, oh, he's got something all right.
Listen, Jake continued, don't you worry. You and the Jipman can drive on behind us.
Play some tunes. Play them loud if you want. Fuck it, dude. Just fuck it. We got the goods. And this time tomorrow is payday, so fuck it, okay? Hear me? You good?
By payday, Jake meant supplies of food and gas in exchange for the cargo. Top Gun felt uneasy just thinking about that, but what he said was, "Yeah, I'm good."
Smooth.
Hey, O'Leary.
Top Gun flinched as the surgeon's, the delusional surgeon's head snapped up.
You get that done, then come on back here. You're riding up front with me, you crazy rabid bear fucker, you. Hope you like Deep Purple. Fucking love Deep Purple.
O'Leary's eyes lit up, and for a brief moment he resembled a big old shaggy collie who'd just heard the rattling of treats in a can. The sight amazed Top Gun.
Well, get that shit done, son, Jake yelled out.
An enthusiastic O'Leary got back to work. Jolly Jake fired off an expression of "see" at Top Gun before winking at him. Top Gun saw, and frankly, it both amazed and scared the living shit out of him. 9. The two-truck motorcade stopped 10 kilometers outside of Timmins at the last Blue Star EV charging station this side of the TCH. Half of the building's roof had charred and collapsed as if God himself had decided to pop a propane pimple with disastrous consequences. The main office, attached convenience store, and restaurant remained intact, however, although the smashed windows and wide-open doors indicated it had long since been gutted by looters. There were three main charging areas out front, all lined up like a regular parking lot, where each individual zone had a single charging station positioned at the end. On a lot that might service a total of 50 or more cars, there were only three mid-sized vehicles occupying the recharging zones. The chargers were white and blue, with yellow lightning streaks through a blue sun on their bulky sides. They reminded Top Gun of old-fashioned parking meters, but with a few extra kilograms of armor slapped on top. When Jake and his crew designated the place as their rendezvous spot, Top Gun had himself a waltz through the adjoining facilities, because one never knew what looters might have missed the first dozen times through. Sadly, however, the whole facility had been picked clean. Not even a road map. Someone had tossed all the metal racks into a corner behind the counter, creating a nightmarish jungle gym of sorts. Broken glass, squashed plastic bottles, and an assortment of flattened juice and milk cartons littered the floor near the coolers. There had been a faint smell of piss around there as well. The place certainly had had its share of visitors after the fall of civilization, but as of last week, it had been deserted. O'Leary got out of Jake's truck. He wore a Kevlar vest, which needed some stitching on one side, and a dinged-up riot helmet. The armor encased the self-proclaimed no-surgeon in a bulky, intimidating outer shell. He adjusted the helmet aggressively, as if pissed off he couldn't jam a finger into his ear. Once that was done, he bent over and crept towards the open doors of the station.
Jesus, Top Gun said. He must have put that on while in the truck.
Bet that was an experience, the jitman said on the passenger side.
Bet it was.
The two men sat in the second truck and stared.
Jake don't give a fuck, the jitman finally said. Probably suggested it himself.
Probably. Top Gun eyed the highways running east and west and the derelicts dotting the lanes. There were abandoned vehicles everywhere, but they usually were more of a pain in the ass around bigger cities where the sheer volume forced a driver to reduce his speed to a crawl or simply turn back and find another route.
I tell you, the jitman said, staring off in the direction O'Leary had gone. That guy's on a fuse.
I know, Top Gun said.
Short fuse.
I know.
One of us'll have to put him down.
Probably.
I could do it, the jitman offered.
Just pop him when he gets back. When we all sit down to eat.
No trouble. I just need the go-ahead.
Jake won't like it, Top Gun said, squinting at the aging afternoon.
He says we need him, even though the guy's crazy.
He has a point. We only need him for shock and awe, that's it.
That's exactly it, Top Gun agreed.
You gotta admit, when O'Leary gets it in his head to go through a door, he goes through a door. Can't find help like that anymore.
Suppose not, the jipman said, but he clearly wasn't convinced.
The conversation got quiet then, and Top Gun turned off the engine to preserve fuel. The silence thrummed in his ears, and he lowered the window. A breeze passed through the cab, cold to the face but refreshing. Someone thumped in the cargo trailer from behind as if they'd fallen over, and Top Gun glanced at the padlocked doors. No one was going to try and escape. O'Leary came back into sight and waved them in.
All clear, Top Gun said.
No one's been here for ages, the jipman declared.
Rather be safe than sorry.
Under an overcast sky, they left the pickup, their sidearms holstered on their thighs. Top Gun stretched with a soft groan and focused on a clump of trees across the highway. The jipman did the same on the passenger side. Both men wore jeans and t-shirts held in place with some tactical webbing. Upon sharing a look, the jipman started walking toward the rear.
Gonna check on the cargo, he said.
Top Gun let him go. Jake stood beside his ride. The leader stretched as if he were unlocking his entire spine. He croaked happily and ran his fingers through his greasy hair. The guy loved his hair and couldn't go 5 minutes without touching it, as if he had stringy gold sprouting from his scalp. Once finished, Jake sauntered along the truck, limping just a little and rubbing his belly. He slapped the cargo trailer's length before breaking into a full-on drum solo, grinning the whole way until he got to the end. He stopped at the rear doors, studied the upper frame, and disarmed the booby trap located there. 5 seconds later, he unlocked the trailer and opened the container. Even with the air holes and the freezing ventilation of the highway, a gym stink of unwashed skin and shitty-ass clothing reached out and rudely invaded Top Gun's mouth and nose, stealing his breath by the fistful. The olfactory jack slap to the face stopped the man cold, left him wishing for a gas mask or a fire hose.
"Get out, you shitty-ass fuckers, get out,"
Jake merrily told them, but his hand was on his Sig Sauer in a don't-test-me sort of way. Shadow steered in the depths of the cargo trailer. Chains rattled along the floor. Two pitiful figures staggered into the daylight. Grease-smudged hockey masks covered their faces, the plastic kind a kid might wear on Halloween. They wore clothing that might have been washed in rancid animal fat. Their hands and ankles were shackled, a single chain connecting them to one another. They lurched to a stop some 3 paces outside the trailer and steadied themselves like a pair of drunks trying hard to appear sober. Jake used to call them meat or slabs of meat before finally adopting the current favorite, meat puppets.
"Sit," Jake ordered.
The two men lowered themselves to the ground, settling down on their hands and knees.
"Christ almighty," Jake chuckled and pinched his nose. "We're gonna have to get you some new clothes. Maybe something for winter, too. You like that idea? Maybe some sweaters?"
The two meat puppets nodded energetically.
"Well, maybe that's what we'll do. Do a little early Christmas shopping. Sweaters and some woolly socks. That sound good?"
More enthusiastic nods.
"You up for some Christmas shopping there, Top G?"
Jake asked, a little too loud for Top Gun's liking. Top Gun frowned. The meat puppets made him uneasy. He didn't like Jake accepting and taking them for this side quest, but like before, he kept his mouth shut. He feared he wasn't going to keep it shut for much longer.
"No?" Jake asked. "Shit, we gotta keep Christmas in mind. That's the happiest day of the year. Presents for all the good boy meat sticks and good girl meat sticks. That's my new favorite name for you sons of bitches. Hey, how's the cargo looking, jipman?"
From the rear, the jipman waved an affirmative.
"You want to let them out for a walk?" he asked. Yeah, let them out for a bit," Jake said, studying the puppets on their knees. "One took a shit near the door."
A look of horror appeared on the Jolly One's face.
"What?" "Yeah, smelled it when I got back here."
Top Gun sniffed and got nothing. The breeze was taking it away from him.
"They shit in the back?" Jake demanded, clearly offended. "One of them did." "Well, goddammit, that's just rude. You'd think they would hold it in."
O'Leary blasting the head off the slab might have had something to do with that, Top Gun suggested, and only because O'Leary was currently gravitating to the restaurant section of the recharging station.
What? Jake asked.
Scared them that bad?
Christ, if they're like that now, what are they gonna be like after a few days with the leather?
Top Gun didn't know. Didn't want to know, really.
Well, shit, Jake said, hitching his hands on his hips. I'm tempted to just let them fucking wallow in that. I don't appreciate shit like that. Fucking rude. Shitting in the trailer. You hear that, boys?
The two slabs nodded again.
Someone dropped some corn fudge in the trailer. Take a guess as to who's gonna clean that up barehanded.
The two meat slabs nodded, but didn't comment, as if they'd been gagged. Truth was, they were gagged, their mouths clogged with plastic balls and kept in place with strips of black studded leather. Oddly enough, Jake had no issue with using ball gags on the meat, but he didn't like the looks of the things. Thank the Lord for their hockey masks, which covered up all that unpleasantness.
Fuck it, Jake declared, changing his mind. They couldn't hold it in, they can damn well stew in it. And I'll tell you another thing. Their walking privileges have just been suspended. Let them stretch their legs in the trailer and try not to touch their own shit.
When's the leather coming around again? Top Gun asked, wanting to change the subject.
Don't know exactly, Jake said. Sometime tomorrow. Hopefully in the morning.
The leather's weird, though, he continued, turning toward the distant tree line. He might be here now and just watching us.
That unnerved Top Gun.
Really?
Oh yeah, he's fucked up like that. Even though we got the merch.
Jake spun around and raised his voice.
You hear that? If you're out there, we got your merch.
Jesus, Jake, keep it down. Top Gun winced. Jake's smile reappeared.
Fuck it, Gun, my son, fuck it. What are we worried about? No one around. And if they were, we got the Mad Dog shotgun surgeon with us, that right?
You got it, Jake, O'Leary said, weapon slung over his shoulder as he walked back to the truck.
You say tomorrow morning? The jipman asked from the rear.
Hopefully tomorrow morning, Jake said.
What direction is he coming from, you think?
Fuck if I know. So many back roads around here.
Why?
That him, you think? The question got the whole group's complete attention. There was no mistaking what they saw. There, about a kilometer back on the crest of the open highway, was a pickup truck, the windshield and roof dull underneath the overcast sky.
Well now, Jake said, snarling good-naturedly at the vehicle.
That's a good question. The pickup wasn't getting any closer. It was just out there, poised on the absolute edge of their vision, as if sensing it had been detected. Top Gun eyed the machine with a questioning grimace. The thing bothered him. He reached for his holstered Beretta and slipped the weapon free.
Where are the spyglasses? Jake asked.
In the truck, O'Leary replied.
Get them.
I think it's a car, the jipman said.
The leather drive a car?
The leather drives a truck, Jake reported, holding out a hand and waiting on O'Leary.
The leather needs a truck. Can't stuff the merch in the back seat of a Honda Civic.
Top Gun supposed not. Not when the merch was prone to laying fudge pipe when frightened.
I don't think it's the leather, Jake, he finally said.
I'm pretty sure it's not the leather, Jake agreed. He immediately put the binoculars to his eyes once O'Leary handed them over.
Don't think the leather would be trying to sneak up on us either.
Didn't you just say they might be watching us? Top Gun asked.
I was only fucking around then. You gotta have more trust, TG. More trust. We have a business arrangement here.
What do you see? The jipman asked, half turned to his companions. Jake didn't answer. He fiddled with the magnification and grew agitated.
God damn it, he finally swore. Who fucked around with these things?
O'Leary glared a warning in Top Gun's direction.
One of the doors just opened, I think, the jipman said.
He disappeared behind the bulk of the trailer. Top Gun did the same, his paranoia alive and thrumming.
You hear me?
The jipman asked, coming into view on the other side just beyond the box bed and the trailer hitch.
I heard,
Jake said, no longer quite so jolly.
Hold on a second, goddammit.
All right. Yeah, it's a truck. Two doors are open. There's the driver getting out.
Top Gun saw a stick figure emerge, visible from the chest up and partially hidden by the door.
The fuck is that? Jake said aloud, adjusting his binoculars again.
All right, hold on.
Okay, I see him. One guy, wearing.
There was a weird spurt and a crinkle of exploding glass, and Jolly Jake flew backwards, his arms flopping as if he were fending off a swarm of mosquitoes. That happened for all of a split second. The curt metallic shriek that followed prompted Top Gun to race for cover, his gun out and poised at his ear. He looked back and saw Jake, 10 twitching toes up, and a grisly stew of head cheese spattered across the blacktop. Black flies were already making halos around the dead man. The binoculars just lay outside of the corpse's reach, one lens shattered, the fragments shiny in the daylight.
Holy shit! O'Leary screamed. Holy shit!
Get down, Top Gun yelled, and O'Leary, suddenly not so insane anymore, did exactly as he was told. He disappeared behind the front of Jake's ride.
Sweet fuck almighty, Top,
the jitman said from the other side of the cargo trailer.
Jake's dead.
Yeah.
You see who did it?
No,
Top Gun replied, his heart and temples pumping in the disquieting silence following the kill shot. The jitman had pressed himself up against the trailer in between the truck's tailgate. He swung his head around and carefully tried to locate the attackers.
Fuckers might have a sniper rifle.
You think? Top Gun snapped off.
Keep your head down. Who do you think it is?
Jesus Christ, love handles, I don't know. Now shut the fuck up and keep your eyes open.
Frustrated, Top Gun stayed low and scanned the road, right up to that crest and the truck beyond. The driver was gone, at least from his sight.
They're coming for the cargo, O'Leary blurted.
Probably, Top Gun thought.
Theirs was a budding market, and no doubt there would be rival companies seeking a slice of the action, ones that didn't mind killing off and robbing the competition. Top Gun no longer cared. They could have it.
That's the leather, and he's coming for the cargo,
O'Leary continued, his words slowly becoming a rant.
He's coming for the cargo. He's coming for the cargo and the meat, and he don't want to pay for any of it. Decided he's just going to kill us and take it. Just going to kill us and take it. The leather-coated piece of cock-sucking shit. Well, fuck that noise. I ain't letting him.
There was a growl then, of pure uncorked rage and adrenaline. A lethal combination capable of transforming a psychotic glue bag like O'Leary into a batshit crazy super freak. And O'Leary was working himself through a positively frightening metamorphosis. He panted back there, a loud, gibbering, frothing growl. Loud enough that Top Gun believed today was the day he'd have to put a bullet through the man's skull, if he was able. Thing was, he might need the fucking lunatic. Might need his extra firepower until they determined who their attackers were.
Well, shit. Top Gun's scrambling mind fired off.
He'd just been dumped into perhaps one of the most dreadful situations he could imagine, caught between a sniper and a short-circuiting wingnut.
Boom!
The explosion spun Top Gun around. He took aim at the truck behind him. One of the two meat puppets had toppled over. His head looked like it had been fed into a lawnmower. Thing was, the sniper out there had no shot of the puppets. The angle and cover of the two pickups didn't allow one. The guy doing the shooting was none other than O'Leary himself.
Christ almighty,
the jitman was saying, but the words were barely audible over the frantic whimpering of the other meat slab and the schlacking of a fresh shell being racked and readied.
Boom!
A spray of black matter and another fleshy thud. Top Gun clapped a hand over his scalp.
Quit that shit, you fucking nipplehead. Those are rentals you're shooting.
He ain't getting them!
O'Leary screamed, hard enough to potentially burst his brain.
If only I was so lucky, Top Gun thought, his gun held to his ear.
There's only one shooter, the jitman yelled. O'Leary, wait!
That's the leather out there,
O'Leary shouted back, steaming red and full-on savage, caught in the middle of refilling his lungs.
Don't want to pay for the merch. The leather's like a fucking cockroach, and where there's one...
The The Jitman's exploding head distracted Top Gun then, and he flinched in horror as his companion's torso pitched forward and dropped out of sight. The Jitman must have given the mystery shooter a big enough target to fire upon, which the unseen marksman had done to spectacular effect. O'Leary screamed, arms flailing as he stood between Jake's trailer and the front of Top Gun's truck.
"They got the Jitman," Top Gun exclaimed in a panic.
He immediately clamped down on that shit, knowing that if he freaked out, he'd be dead in seconds.
"They got," Top Gun began, just before O'Leary, as he and the newly deceased Jitman so often speculated would happen, finally, mentally detonated.
Perhaps it was the shock of seeing Jake go down in a decidedly inglorious fashion. Maybe it was the ease at which the Jitman had the top of his own skull surgically removed by a bullet. Top Gun figured it was a perfect, instant crazy cake mixture of everything O'Leary needed to explode. The shotgun surgeon screamed hard enough to blow out his vocal cords, hard enough that Top Gun pointed his gun in that direction when he knew he should be paying attention to the sniper picking them off. O'Leary screamed again, a death metal peal of unintelligible gibberish, and charged out from between the two vehicles. Red-faced and eyes wide in a ghastly, howling caricature of a Japanese Tengu mask, O'Leary blasted into the open like an armored sumo fired from a cannon, and was immediately blown backwards as if he'd caught an enemy battleship shell square in the chest. At least that's what it looked like to Top Gun. O'Leary's screaming melded with that familiar metallic buzz for all of a split second before he landed flat on his spine, some 10 feet back from where he was hit.
"Jesus Christ," Top Gun swore, and got low.
He struggled to think. Screams clawed at his brain, and it took him a moment to realize it was not coming from his head, but from the gagged prisoners chained inside the trailer. Top Gun fumed. He debated if he should make peace with the sniper for killing O'Leary, attempt revenge for killing the rest of his crew, or just unhook the lead trailer and get the sweet nut fudge out of Dodge. It took him a whole second to think that one through, and the answer surprised him. Someone had gotten the jump on them, but Top Gun wasn't done just yet. Matter of fact, when he got right down to it, he was getting mighty pissed. As weird as it sounded, despite his earlier misgivings about the whole operation, Jolly Jake, the Jitman, and even bat-fuck-crazy O'Leary were still his crew. And Top Gun wanted a little vengeance. He crowded the trailer hitch, careful to keep his ass behind cover, and glanced to where the poor old Jitman lay dead and leaking. Top Gun's partner in crime had well and truly passed on, but the Jitman's gun was nearby. A Beretta. Not so far out of reach. Top Gun was tempted to try and reach it, but he soon decided an extra sidearm wasn't going to win this fight. He had something else in mind. Dealing with the hammering in his chest, Top Gun's thoughts centered on what he had stashed into the back seat of his ride's crew cab. The very reason why they called him Top Gun. Though he might have been a teacher in the old world, he did have training, once being a part of the Canadian infantry. Top Gun kept his head low as he pressed up against the rear bumper. He took a deep breath. Top Gun raced out from around the truck and threw open the driver's side rear door. A formidable rifle lay on the floor. He grabbed it, clapping an elbow off the edge of the door. A hot buzzsaw of pain licked his arm all the way to his fingers. Groaning, taking in the carbonated sting that enveloped everything below his left bicep, Top Gun heaved himself back onto the pavement. Just as a bullet rudely punched through the window of the open door, missing his head by a split second. A breathless Top Gun scurried underneath the truck, shimmying along on his belly. He pulled the rifle in with him, despite the angry sizzle paralyzing his left arm.
Step one down.
He struggled to orient himself. A second later, he clawed his way underneath the crusty chassis towards Jake's truck. Someone yelled, the meaning lost on him. Then O'Leary answered, risen from the dead, roaring a stream of hot filth that scorched the very air.
"I'll kill you, you piece of shit dog fucks!"
The scream from the pretending nose surgeon caused Top Gun to jerk his head up, right into the metallic guts of the pickup. The connection was brilliant, the effect immediate. He dropped to the ground again while grabbing at his head, the smoldering nerve pain of his left arm pressed against his ear.
"Goddamn salt flap sons of cock-smoking bitches!"
O'Leary released in a voice frayed and threatening to blow itself out. He rolled over onto his belly, drew his legs up enough that his ass pointed to the heavens, and shuddered from the waist up. Top Gun watched from underneath the truck and cringed.
"Get down, you stupid fuck!" he shouted.
O'Leary did not get down. With one hand pressed against his bulletproof chest, he somehow got to his feet while still gripping his shotgun. Adjusting his helmet as if he'd just been gorged by a bull, O'Leary was too furious to do anything more than rant and rave, and fire his shotgun. One-handed, into the air, which stunned Top Gun for all of a second, before a bullet expertly perforated the tempered glass of the man's face shield in a splash of bright jam. That shot knocked O'Leary back onto his ass a good 5 feet, splayed out as if nailed to the ground and waiting for the fire ants. Even as a potential distraction, O'Leary had failed to deliver. "Fucking numpty," Top Gun fumed, getting some feeling back into his arm. He checked on O'Leary, confirmed that the man was indeed expired, and considered his next move. He wondered if the killers were advancing. A second later, he resumed crawling towards the front and didn't stop until he was out from underneath his truck. With his ass on the pavement and his spine against the grill, Top Gun readied his own long-distance cannon with practiced familiarity. He extended the bipod, checked the magazine, and took another breath before priming the Australian-made AUG-20 long-range assault rifle, a superior upgrade from the older, less reliable models. He then considered the open ground to his left, where a meat puppet corpse lay in a blood pool. Jolly Jake was just a few feet beyond that, which caught Top Gun's eye and got him thinking. He would only have a second, if that. Top Gun lunged toward the corpse, landing hard, metal and bone scrubbing pavement. He skinned out his unprotected elbow on the coarse surface and felt a moment's terror when his right foot slipped and blew out behind him. But then he collapsed upon Jolly Jake and rolled over his dead leader. He got onto his chest and gave the corpse a quick pat down. No keys. Top Gun hoped to God that Jake had left them in his truck because he wasn't crawling back to his own ride. Without another thought, the part-time soldier slapped the AUG-20 down on Jake's sunken ribcage. He screwed his face into the sights and scanned the distant crest. Pickup truck. Open door, on both sides. No shooter, however. None that he could see. A man stuck his head out from behind the door, moving around, staying low but being sloppy about it. No doubt thinking the dirty work had been done, or that he was well out of range. The guy had a thick beard and wore a winter cap. Sunglasses shielded his eyes. Top Gun centered the reticle upon the target's face, intending to give back some pain. He forced himself to exhale, and the bearded bastard ducked just as Top Gun squeezed the trigger. Missed. But the unmistakable blast and scream of the bullet had alerted the target. The guy dropped from sight. Furious, Top Gun panned right. There were no targets besides the obvious, so he made do with that. He fired, squeezing the trigger 3 times, the rifle softly bucking against his shoulder. Spidery holes appeared in the vehicle's windshield with misty pops. The fourth shot punched the road shoulder, spraying crushed stone. Baring his teeth, Top Gun adjusted his aim. The truck's tires weren't visible, but the engine block was. So he placed 6 shots into the grill, the impact sparkling.
Take that, you piece of shit, he snarled. Take that.
Satisfied, Top Gun yanked back his weapon and staggered into a run, thinking of escape. Jake's ride was there, ready and waiting. He hurried to the driver's side, whipped open the door, and scrambled aboard, shoving his weapon muzzle first into the passenger side. Slamming the door, Top Gun located the key fob and jammed his thumb into the ignition button. The pickup's engine flared to life with a biodiesel roar.
You want the cargo, bitches? Top Gun asked, his voice laced with venom. Then take 'em.
No merch was worth his life. With that, he put the truck into gear and stomped on the gas. Cargo trailer still attached, Jolly Jake's pickup surged forward, charging for the town of Timmins with a steel-belted scream of rubber.
10. Jesus Christ! Gus winced as he dove for cover after the first shell plugged the windshield.
A destructive pattering followed as more bullets blasted the truck's face, popping glass and metal. Then nothing. Until a speck of a figure sprinted in the distance, keeping close to the pickup and trailer. Seconds later, the engine flared to life and the truck bolted towards the city.
"He's getting away," Gus shouted. "Collie, he's getting away."
"Roger that," Collie replied. She'd set up shop some 20 feet away from the pickup. She lay on her chest, aiming a high-tech rifle, one of the few pillaged from the battleground that had been Whitecap. Her sunglasses were pushed up on her forehead, and when she looked away from her scope, she pulled them back over her eyes.
"No shot," she said.
She sighed when she saw the damage done to the pickup.
"Well, goddamn Jimmy Jesus."
Gus rose to his knees.
"We going after them?"
Collie sized up the distance.
"No."
"No?"
She shook her head. Gus stood, his knees cracking as he did so. Steam drifted from the perforated engine block, and the sight prompted him to massage the back of his neck.
"Bastard shot our truck," he muttered, at a loss for anything more.
Collie hurried to the driver's side, tossing Gus the rifle as she passed him.